Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Special day. Anytime we have Dr. John Townsend in with us, it's special. And he's in today, so that makes it special. Hey, John, how are you?
Hi, everybody.
He's being silly. Silly with face masks here, you know.
Everybody. And then Dr. Sherry Keffer, that's her voice. She's here, and she always makes it a great program. And so glad that you guys are here. Thanks
for joining
me. It's
great to be with you,
too. iPads on.
You know what's interesting? All three of us have had a great pleasure of being part of books that have made a difference in people's lives. I mean, literally, think about people that didn't know about boundaries, and then they read boundaries, life is different. Or somebody doesn't know the impact of intimate deception, and they read your book, Sherry, and it just, everything changes. And I want to encourage people to get a copy of John's book, Boundaries. It's been revised, updated, but it really is one of those things like Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. It's just a book you ought to read. If you're a believer, you ought to read that book. And really glad that you did that. It's helped a lot of people, and you're going to be sharing that at our workshop called Brains, Boundaries, Battles, and the Bible. I'm really glad you are. That's December 5th. You can sign up online for that if you'd like to. Well, I say let's go to the calls, and let's start out by talking with Mary. And Mary's on line 5. And hi, Mary. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Really glad you're with us. How could we help today?
Well, I'll try to keep it short. My son is 24. He has bipolar and PTSD. And he and his girlfriend had a baby. He is now 6 months. And unfortunately, we tried to have them live at our house 3 times. The last time, there was just a big explosion. Had to ask them to leave for the last and final time. That made them homeless.
Oh, goodness.
And now the state has taken the baby.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm just so torn as, do I take the child in? That being said, my husband is a recovering alcoholic. He's doing fantastic. He did say, you know, it's totally up to me as to what I should do, if you want to bring the baby in or if we don't want to bring the baby in. But I just don't want to have that added pressure to make him relapse.
Okay. A lot of issues here, Mary. And
yes.
How long has your husband been in recovery?
Since June of this year.
Okay. Is his recovery that fragile that bringing a baby, a grandchild, into the house would maybe cause him to relapse? Is that a valid concern there?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
Because my husband doesn't deal with stress very well.
You feel a little bit shaky about where he is right now.
When it's just he and I, absolutely not. I think we're on a fantastic journey together.
Okay. Is he in an AA group? Is he in counseling to deal with some of the underlying hurts and issues that he was numbing out? Is he doing any of that?
Since the pandemic, he doesn't like doing the video chats. He did go to Karen Foundation for 28 days and did a recovery there.
But he's not really in any ongoing help right now?
Correct.
Wow. Well, I think if you bring a baby in, we got to have a plan for him to help shore him up and keep him hemmed in as well.
Yeah, there's two at risk here.
Yeah.
We'll get back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. We're talking with Mary. Glad we are. And so Mary's husband is a recovering alcoholic, not involved in recovery meetings, and the fear would be if you took in the grandbaby that has now been taken away by the state, that it might be so much stress it would cause him to relapse.
You know, can I throw an idea here, Steve, or a question to Mary?
Sure, yeah.
Hey, Mary, still here with us?
Yeah.
I like to sometimes, you have a complicated situation, and all of our, we were talking at the break about how impressed we are with you with so many things you're dealing with at one time, and you know, hats off to you because we know that it can't be easy. I like to start off sometimes with kind of like the looking at the cost factor of a decision. So Lem, I'm going to project two scenarios and you kind of say A or B. The first one is you take your grandchild in and husband does relapse and that gets kind of a mess, and then he gets help and moves on, and you've raised a child. The other one is, because you're afraid of something that your husband might be at risk for, you don't do that, and your husband's raised by, and your child is raised by the state or an adoptive parents or foster parents. Those are the two bad options, right? We're looking at those. Possibility of either one of those. Which one would you think is the one that's most tolerable for you and the baby, and which one's the least tolerable for you and the baby? It's just kind of a simple way to look at this. What would you think?
Wow. Can I go with B?
You would go with B?
No, I said C.
Oh, what is C?
It's not an option, I know.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. These are really the two possible risk paths, and this is just a... This isn't fun, but if we can get to where you are on this, we can really help. So... If we hope neither one of them happens, we hope everybody's happy, but we've got to be realistic. Which path would you choose if you knew the end result?
If I knew my husband would not relapse, I would probably take him in.
No, that's not one of the, that was C. We're not doing C. I'm talking about risk. Look at it like somebody, like an insurance company looks at risk factors. So the risk is your husband relapses while you take your grandchild in. That's A. The risk factor of not doing that is that your child is raised by other than yourself. That's B. So
I would say B.
Okay, you'd rather the child be adopted by some other people.
I want to give you C. Let me give you option C. You don't raise your grandchild, and your husband relapses anyway.
Well,
that's C.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
We're not trying to be discouraging. It's just you're a very responsible person, and we're trying to help you to make good, rational decisions in a tough, tough time. We're not trying to make you depressed at all.
Because I think what you both are doing is brilliant, isn't it, Mary? They're really highlighting the fear.
Yeah.
And sometimes we make our decision in the moment based on fear instead of what reality is. So I was an adoption worker. In fact, I would go out to family homes just like yours. And I was, I had to assess the family. I had to interview them. I had to do kind of what John just did. And then you know what I had to do? I had to put together a plan for them.
There you go.
For risk management.
It's and all about risk. Listen to Sherry here. She knows this world.
Well, but this is the thing, is when the county is looking to place your child, sometimes we think we have to be 100% permanent. We know what we're going to do. And the truth is, we don't. I have a lot of grandparents that I work with that took a child in as a trial. They just needed to feel that baby on for size. They needed to make that decision so they could actually tell themselves in the future, I did everything I could do before they just let that baby go. Mm-hmm. But then what I would do is I would come up with a treatment plan for your husband because he is going to need to be in a virtual group right now until he can get into a face-to-face in order to help him deal with the triggers and the stressors that are coming up. He can't just fly.
And one of those triggers is my son.
Okay. I understand that.
Homeless and out of the picture now.
Yeah.
But the county may want to have him have some visits, right? Because they're wanting to have the baby in a safe place. But guess who might be doing those visits? Who feels like they're the stronger link right now between you and your hubby? You.
Right.
You would go and you would meet at McDonald's and they would come there if you do a visit and they'd get to see the baby, but that baby comes home with you. There's all kinds of ways.
And I didn't even realize that a trial would be something that would be possible.
With them? You mean having a baby being bipolar?
With the baby.
No, trial. A trial.
A trial. Yeah. I mean, when you talk to the county, tell them you're very interested and that you would like to keep the family together. The county wants that child to be in the family system. That would be their number one choice. But they just have to have you sign up and say, I'm willing to give it a try.
I think this, Sherry's suggestion is so cool for you because it gives you some space and your husband some space to experience this. And then you'll find out if there's real cracks in the relationship or if he's really frat. You'll find out, and then you can do something that's the best for the baby. I love that idea. It gives you some room that you didn't think you had.
And one of the things at my age I would encourage anybody to do, and when you're weighing the options, what is going to be the thing that I'm going to regret that I did or did not do? Mm. And I think there's a tremendous potential for you to regret that you didn't do this in an effort to try to control your husband's sobriety, which is very fragile. And like Sherry said, whether he likes virtual meetings or not, there are a lot of them, and he needs to be involved with that, and he needs to be in therapy. There are people that come out of treatment, and they are ready to do the work on their character, their relationship, and they get the therapy. They're doing meetings. They're working the program. I will guarantee you the question that I'm going to ask you is going to have no for an answer. Does he have a sponsor? No. So if he had a sponsor, he'd be saying to the sponsor, what do you think about this grandchild coming to the house? I might get drunk. Well, buddy, here's what the sponsor would say. If you're going to get drunk, you're going to get drunk. If you have to have a baby to have an excuse to do it, you'll use the baby. If you don't have the baby, you'll use not having the baby as an excuse because your drunkenness is you. It had nothing to do with a baby or stress or anything like that. But he doesn't have a sponsor to say things kind of tough like that. You know, it's things that a therapist wouldn't say or you wouldn't say. But there is something to recovery of this concept of shut up and listen. You know, kind of a man-to-man kind of thing that really changes a guy's attitude about certain things. And I think a sponsor would say to him, hey, dude, this is your child. This is your grandchild. Step up. Let's do it. You know your wife's heart is going to break over this baby. And she's going to resent the heck out of you for the rest of her life if she can't come in and do what both of you know is the best thing. Because the hope would be that your kids would get their act together, you know? Son and daughter-in-law would finally do that. And that you, in the meantime, while they're getting their act together, you're putting in some amazing love and affection to this darling child. So that's my thought. I know I'm a bit biased because I have an adopted daughter that is just one of the greatest joys of my life. And I just wanted her to know from the beginning she was wanted, desired, and loved from the second she was born. And that's going to be pretty tough on a mm-hmm. on a child who no one in the family wanted me.
Hope we've helped, Mary.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for what you did.
All right, I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible and a workbook there for you to give to your husband, and I hope that's going to be a blessing to him. Anybody else, we've got great life recovery groups, great life recovery materials, including that Life Recovery Bible sold over 3 million copies because people really find hope and help there. Let's go to Sarge. He is a Club New Life member. Hey, Sarge, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you folks?
Doing okay. How can we help?
I'm just excited to I'm excited to be able to call in. I'm actually calling initially because you know, I'm been giving for a long time, been listening for a long time, and
thank you.
Becky Brown left the voice message on my phone, which like a few weeks ago, and I was just really honored by that, and felt privileged that you all would reach out like that. And so I just wanted to kind of get out there and get out here and kind of let the listeners know that you all are reaching out to the Club New Life supporters. And and you know, this, I mean, I have a half of my library is filled with your literature. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Steve, I only have one of your books. No, just kidding.
It's okay. That's okay.
And, I mean, you guys are just like right now, I'm going through my most challenging crisis of my life, and you guys are just—I just go to you all to just help me get through it. You know, I just lost my job, and I'm still giving you all.
Wow! Thank you.
And yeah, and but you got, you know, I don't really have a question because I just want to just let you just say thank you for just reaching out, especially for Becky for leaving the voice message. And you know, you guys are giving, you all are giving me hope through this really dark time in my life. And I still, you know, and there's times where I go down, but I listen to you all and listen to the advice you all give to other folks. And it just keeps me going, you know, and I know God's going to get me through this.
You hold on. Yeah. I'm so grateful you called. So grateful you're giving, even though you lost your job. What an encouragement that is to others. Let me send you this latest Bible I edited called the Restoration Bible. I'm going to send that off to you. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you, that makes it all worth it. I would imagine that Becky called him on a Thursday because our organization, everybody gets on the phone. We call it Thankful Thursday, and we call folks to thank them for their support, no matter what they give, because we are grateful. We are so, so grateful.
It's a principle you shared on the last show we're together about being heard, and you said, like a herding mentality. So here Sarge was heard by us, by Becky, and thanked. And then, even though he doesn't have a job right now in this really tough time, he's herding with us through the airwaves. Yeah. So good point, Dr. Townsend. But isn't that amazing how we're supporting him?
Yeah. Yep. Welcome to the family again.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's go to Judy, Grants Pass, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. How could we help today?
Well, I was listening, and you were talking to a woman last week on the radio, and I came in at the end, so all I caught was that she had had like 3 panic attacks, and you had said that God gives us anxiety for a reason. Mm-hmm. Yet the Bible tells us that God tells us to be anxious and nothing. Mm-hmm. So I was confused on what you meant by that.
I'll be glad to help with that. I'm a Bible person as you are. I never make a doctrine out of one verse. There are 30,000 verses in the Bible, and sometimes it takes a lot of digging.
Sure.
But there are some times we're supposed to be anxious. For example, it says don't...
Well, what do you mean? So I guess you need to clarify what you mean by anxious.
Well, I'll clarify. If I was walking down a dark alley, and there was a light at the other end of the alley, and it looked like a guy twice my size was coming at me, looked like he had a gun in one hand and a knife in the other, I would be so anxious that I would run. And there are variations.
I guess I think there's better words to be using, because there's a lot of new Christians that when you say anxious, and then they read in the Bible it says, be anxious and nothing. They're getting confused. Now, if I saw the same situation in an alley, I would be fearful, I would be cautious, I would be a lot of other things. I don't know if I would use the word anxiety.
Okay. Great. Well, John is going to clarify this. I kind of interrupted that process when we come back from this break. And I'm really glad you called because we love to clarify things that are, well, they're a little bit confusing. I can't imagine anybody listening to me say something and be confused, except everybody. So we'll help you here, and John's going to clean it up. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Live.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Judy about anxiety in the Bible. And, John, you were just right in the middle of all that.
Yeah. Judy, still with us?
I am.
I'm agreeing with you. I totally agree with you. I think that if you feel like, you know, because the Bible talks about how, especially, look, your concern is for new believers. And the Bible does say, you know, if somebody's going to... Oh, there's a bunch of people talking around us. I'm getting anxious. I mean, scared.
I know.
Are you in a...
Guys, I'm on the radio right now, so hold on. No, it's okay. Go ahead.
And you're a good mom, too, right? I guess that's your kids.
Well, it's my mother and my son and my grandson.
Oh,
so
you've got
four generations.
Okay. What I was trying to say was I totally agree with you, and that sometimes a new believer has a hard time with things, and Bible does say, Paul talks about don't let them stumble. So, gosh, don't use it if you feel like if you're around somebody who would be somehow think they're not being faithful, and there's a ton of Bible passages that say don't fear, don't be anxious, all this sort of thing. So I totally agree with you. However, having said that, there are things in the Bible where we're supposed to have fear. So let's take the word anxious off, but just talk about fear or concern. For example, Jesus said, don't fear man, fear the God who made the man, right? You know, they're supposed to fear him and respect him. And there's also passages in Proverbs about being careful about things. Don't go around immoral people, and don't let seductive people hang out with you because they can cause you danger. So I totally agree with you. It's a word that if it causes somebody to feel like they're not being faithful, then just use fear or concern or diligence, and then I think we're all happy. So I'm on your side.
And Judy,
I don't know what's on your side. I just think that. Go ahead.
Well, go ahead and say your statement, then I'll jump in after that.
I just think that. Listen, even, and I'm not a seasoned Christian. I'm just saying that, as somebody who has read passages and when I heard that God gives us anxiety, to me, even that was just a confusing statement. That's all.
And you know what,
I don't believe that God gives us anxiety.
Yeah. Can I just take a real big risk with you? I feel like I'm going to jump I'm either going to jump and touch your heart, or I'm going to really jump and miss it. But would you let me do that with you?
Sure.
Okay. You know what I'm wondering about you is, it feels to me like you may have grown up in a home where you were responsible for others. Like, maybe you're the oldest daughter, and there were some things that happened in your house that you automatically stepped in to caretake, because your heart is very compassionate and it wants to protect. And I'm just wondering if maybe something got triggered even today on the call where having some authority say something. And you have felt for a long time that you need to be responsible and protect others. Is any of that true?
Well, I can say yes and no. What touched me at that moment when I first heard that statement was that we are living in a time now where people are falling away from the truth. And I think that as people who are instructing other people biblically, we need to be as accurate as possible, because there's a lot of apostasy out there. There's a lot of untruth. There's a lot of misleading.
Totally get that.
And it's only going to get worse.
And you know what? I think you were the truth teller in your house. I think you saw things, and you were really brave. and you were standing up for truth. And I think somewhere along the way you got hurt because you weren't heard. You weren't heard. And I love your bravery today. Okay. I love your strength. But it's easy.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Were you a truth teller?
I think that, you know, as any normal kid growing up, I told my fair share of lies. I mean, I'm not saying like I said, the only reason I'm calling is because I heard a statement and I felt it really needed clarification, because the only truth I think matters in this day and age is God's word.
I get it. So what you're telling me is you grew up in a perfect home without parents, that there were issues. Is that right?
No, I didn't say that at all. We really didn't go too much into my upbringing.
I know.
That's not what I was trying to bring across. What I was trying to bring across is I heard a statement and just wanted clarification. That's all.
And I get it. We all heard it. We agree with you.
We appreciate it.
But I just wanted to touch your heart.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch a vulnerable part of your heart that brought you here today.
Okay, so here's my question. Why do you feel the need to touch my vulnerable heart? I just want a clarification on a statement made. I just want to know why you feel a need right now.
It's a good question.
The vulnerable part of my heart.
It's a good question, because I don't think very many people get to do that with you, my dear. I do. I think that it's...
Well, I work in a jail.
Okay.
And
okay.
Let me tell you, I'm very vulnerable there, and I see a lot of bad there.
Aww.
And a lot of people touch my heart. So I do get touched quite a bit, and I try to help others, and people help me as well.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
And we appreciate you standing up for the Word of God. We appreciate you standing up for the Bible and for truth. And if we need anything in this age, it's truth. So we thank you for ministering to us. Appreciate the call.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. And I'll send you a copy of our Restoration Bible. I hope that you'll like it. We founded the ministry on three words: truth, connection, and transformation. And we always need to clarify something if it's misunderstood. We will take a break, and we're going to come right back with more of New Life Live. Stay tuned. We're glad you're with us today.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and always happy to have Larry Sonnenberg in the studio. Larry, what you got for us today?
Well,
thanks for being there.
Yeah, thank you. I've got a testimony from a recent Every Man's Battle attendee, and there's two purposes for this, but let me read it, and then I'll get into that. After attending Every Man's Battle, I'm hopeful. Having sabotaged my marriage of 18 years regularly throughout, with only brief periods of sobriety from my 40-year addiction to porn and sex, I'm far more hopeful than I imagined was possible. I've learned more about the nature of my addiction, the extent of my woundedness, and the impact of my sin on my family, friends, loved ones, and community at this workshop than I believed possible. I leave encouraged to pursue God in true intimacy with my wife, in spite of the difficult circumstances I face when I go home to face the mess and hurt that I caused in my past pursuit of sin. I leave Every Man's Battle being known by a group of men, and knowing a group of men who who have my permission to speak into my life and hold me accountable for my actions. And I've been given permission and honor and the honor and privilege to speak into theirs. I leave having experienced the grace of God.
Mm. That's so powerful.
Isn't that something? Two things. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would support a ministry that helps people experience that, and their lives are changed, the lives of their families are changed, the lives of their kids are changed, their co-workers, it's all about God doing a work in somebody's life and changing it. That's why we come to you to seek support. And remember, guys, it's never too early to sign up for the next Everyman's Battle Workshop coming up on December the 5th. You can get some things taken care of. You can learn why you're doing what you're doing and discover some of the woundedness that is taking you where you don't want to go. So please call, sign up. You can do it. Take care of yourself.
Well, I'll tell you, you can maintain the status quo, or you can pick up the phone and call us for someone else. You can say, hey, I don't know, what do I do? And we've dealt with thousands of people who call for somebody else, and we tell you what to do that gives the best chance possible that they get help. And if you're a guy and you need that help, I'm telling you, you will never, never regret asking us to help you through Every Man's Battle. And anybody that can provide a scholarship, boy, that would be major, wonderful. Please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE to sign up for a workshop, or if you could help us in any way, joining Club New Life or a one-time gift.
Last thing I got to say is just thank you to the people who support New Life. Mm-hmm. I come on too often to ask without thanking, and I just want to say those of you that are giving, whether it's one time or regularly, thank you. It's making a difference.
Amen. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks being the advocate for all this to happen, Larry. Appreciate it.
All right, let's go and talk with Gordon. He's calling us from Stafford, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hey there, how are you today?
Well, hello, Steve. First of all, I just wanted to thank you, Dr. John and Dr. Sherry, for all that you do. I'm very grateful to be speaking to all of you today.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
So, real quick, I started out as a sex addict, been to Every Man's Battle twice in 2003, 2004, been in recovery over the years, a lot of support, CSAT therapist, as well as group therapy, and been very helpful. The problem is things really haven't gotten better in my marriage. The problems a lot of the problems have persisted. And so through a lot of research and listening and learning, both on my part and my wife's part, come to the conclusion that there's some sort of personality disorder going on with me. I think narcissistic personality disorder, or possibly borderline, or a combination thereof. And I guess the bottom line question for you is there hope for me to recover from this? How do I work through this?
Hmm. Your voice sort of changed when you said that, Gordon. What were you feeling? I felt some emotion when you asked the question.
Well, I don't want to be this way. I mean, I've been to a bunch of psychologists, both on over the phone as well as in person over the years, and I finally, I was told by one psychologist recently, you're not going to change until you can look at that man in the mirror and just say, I don't like what I see. And that's precisely where I've been for the last.
You're concerned, you carry, when we're on your side. And Steve, you asked Sherry to volunteer.
Yeah,
something.
I wonder what you're thinking, Sherry, about a man who says, am I a narcissist and possibly a combination borderline?
And the real question being, is there hope for them to get better?
Yeah.
So you know what is so interesting, and it's kind of interesting off the last call we had, because I think I might take a little different tweak with this, Gordon. I think as you're looking at the man in the mirror, I would actually look at the little boy that you once were, and I would begin to sort out with you what happened. What happened to you as a little guy? because whether it's narcissism or whether it's borderline, and there's a whole range, right? There's people that have traits, and there are people that actually, you know, on a scale from 0 to 10, they're 10. But you know what I'm hearing in your heart that gives me some hope? I'm hearing what John heard, is that crack, that break, that, like, desperate, help me. And I, when it comes to narcissism, you know, there are wounded places, usually young places, where you were abandoned, where you weren't seen, you weren't acknowledged, and those places form other parts in us, very protective parts that have to behave or want to behave without vulnerability. They want to have power over people. They want to try to control others. It's that vulnerable place that is so scary because you were so hurt. So there's mending that needs to go on inside of your heart to do some deep work, deep trauma work around those places of harm. Can you tell us what happened as a little boy? Can you float back? Might have been a young boy. It might have been a teenager.
Well, Dr. Sherry, you're exactly right. I've done a lot of looking at what happened in my past. I've even tried to talk to my mother about it, and there was a lot of pain back there. I mean, it's I would say pretty much the classic trauma, and you know, very young age, you know, from zero on up to four, the formative years, if you will.
And what was that? Can you tell us what happened? Because I'm hearing words, but this is what I would do with you if I had you in my office. I'd say, I know you're explaining it, Gordon, but what happened to you?
Well, I felt abandoned. I felt like I wasn't there. I felt like there was no real connection between my mother and myself. I just kind of was left to my own devices to deal with my own issues, and then things went along. I mean, it was not just her, but there were issues with my father too. He was a raging sex addict, and it was a very chaotic home. So there was a lot of trauma throughout life. So
Gordon, my friend, that is your work. That's where you want to press in. Because the addiction, the sex addiction, first off, I'm proud of you that you went to EMB. I'm proud of you that you had a CSAT. It's kind of like you've cleaned back, you've squeegeed off the sexual acting out, which was what you were trying to fill in that hole. And it never filled it, right? But your wife might feel... One, she might have healed broken because of the sexual acting out. I know I was your wife, so I understand how we can heal broken. But if she doesn't feel that she can move closer into your vulnerability, and a lot of times we don't even know how to be vulnerable because we never got it.
Right.
So I actually was in a Townsend and Cloud recovery group for 4 years because I needed to be with men and women in a long-term process. I mean, you could talk to that probably even better than I can, John. And then I was in therapy doing deep trauma work in order to attach to people and to learn how to be more connected and vulnerable. So yes, you can heal. But you're not going to heal overnight. And if that therapist with you at says you're not going to heal until you look in the mirror, well, you were probably protecting, defending. Mm-hmm. You might have been in a power position. And I've seen it in my office, and I try to get in underneath that. And what's your thoughts?
Yeah,
Gordon, I totally agree with Sherry's wonderful examples of the hope. And that was kind of more for your right brain experiential side. Can I give you a left brain side?
Sure.
The research is fine. Borderline personality disorders and narcissistic personality disorders, if they show up, do the work, get on the operating table of good therapy, they get well. I have seen it. I've been part of it. I've experienced it. It works.
Oh, amen. Thank you, brother.
You bet, man. You got both sides of the brain now.
And what that means is some things that you've done, you may need to do in a different way. And then there are other things that you haven't done that, you know, maybe doing it with somebody else or a different type of help might open up some windows of understanding. We'll be back with that.
The find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Keffer, Dr. John Townsend, and your phone calls.
Can I share just one more thought for Gordon? We were just talking offline, the three of us, and I think he would do really great work. And this is with the permission of his wife and, you know, just saying, hey, with a very compassionate female person that does trauma, EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing, just somebody that can go in very deeply.
And a safe place.
And a safe place.
So and we always want to be that.
Yeah, to do some mom repair, right?
There you go. Marie from Plano, Texas, KWRD. Marie, you're probably our final caller. Don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call. How could we help today?
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thanks for calling us.
Thank you. I am calling because I have a relative. He's 26 years old. He's my heart. However, he called my house and said, I need somewhere to stay just to get my, till I get my feet on the ground. Well, he's had issues with staying with people. He's been in jail. He's been squatting. So yesterday, his mother took him to the hospital. And last night, evidently, he left the hospital and called us and say, nothing's wrong with me. Well, I talked to his mother. His mother says, well, they did diagnose him with, manic, bipolar. But he doesn't believe anything's wrong with him. But he cannot stay with anybody. He doesn't listen to anyone. But I love him, and my heart goes out to him, and I want him to know we do love him, and we want him to get help. But my husband is like, he can't stay with us because he doesn't listen.
Right. So there are resources for him. There's a city mission. There's Salvation Army. I think that you have to let him experience something other than your kindness and generosity that may keep him stuck.
Right. Because I haven't spoken to him, and I wanted to say, if you agree to go to the doctor and take the med that they recommend, it's not going to hurt you, then maybe you can stay with us.
Nope, I wouldn't do that.
I don't know.
Marie, you already did the research.
Marie, no.
Yes.
I'm going to change my no to a not right now. It's not no forever.
I like that.
But he's way too new in the process, and your husband's right. You don't want to bring disruption in. So he's got to stay in a bunch of places, Steve said, take his meds, and say 3-6 months, if a psychologist who knows his case says he's safe to live with somebody, so you got kind of a referee who's a professional, then that's something to talk about. It's a not right now.
But I'll send Take Your Life Back. I hope you and your husband can go over that together. I'm going to get to Angel, Scranton, Pennsylvania. WRGN is the station. Hi there. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. I am really almost out of time, but do you have a quick question we could help you with?
Well, I'm not sure if it's quick. I'm in my 60s, and I've gone to counseling and pastors, and they've talked to me about all the abuse and stuff that I've been through in my life. And I've been told that I have a dark cloud, like evil forces that are fighting my success in life, and I just don't understand it. I just feel like I exist, and is there any freedom for me?
Yeah, let's start with you, John. What do you think here about that dark cloud thing?
I certainly do believe in there's a supernatural thing called a devil, and it's in the Bible, and he's awful and evil, and he does have help. And so I believe in a bad supernatural world. I do believe also that Jesus won over that. And so I would hope that if a pastor told you that you had that, he would do two things. And if he didn't, I'd like to tell you those two things, okay? Because we can be oppressed. One is to get you spiritual help. The Word of God, the Book of Ephesians. Sometimes I have even referred people to, I have a, one of the best. I have a referral for an exorcist who does very good work and is very, very well trained if you have that. But the other is make sure that if I was your pastor, I'd say you've got to be around healthy people that can help you heal. Abuse is not just fixed by exorcism. Abuse is not just fixed by praying a lot. The Bible says to do all those things, but the Bible says oh so much more, and it talks about the people who will heal us and the people who will bring love to us and the people who will bring grace to us. So I would bring those two facts to you if you have not heard those two.
Sherry, you have a thought here before we go?
You know, Angel, sometimes when there is abuse, it is dissociated. I mean, these little pockets of pain get placed into our heart, and it's kind of like they're in the dark because we may not be aware of them. And so when I am working with folks that have abuse and it's in their heart, their hidden heart, they can't really see it, they may just have a piece of it, we start to work at excavating that. And it's kind of like the dark places start floating up into the light. And that's where they can be healed. So I wouldn't lose heart. I agree with everything that Dr. Townsend said. And I wouldn't do it alone, though. I wouldn't go it alone. I would stay in the line and let us find somebody in your area, one of our New Life counselors, that every week you can go into and start really excavating, turning over the soil and beginning to get those pockets that maybe have been wounds and partial dissociations, or just get it out of the dark into the light where it's healed.
Well, yeah, and you know, a lot of times we find that people that think they have a dark cloud covering them or over them, really, you could say the dark cloud's inside, and you get the help, like you're saying, and then things lighten up. And one of the things I think what oppression and these unresolved things do, they make us, you could say, colorblind. We just see gray and dark and black, and then somebody, you go sit down with somebody and you think this is the biggest waste of time, and you keep coming back, and then all of a sudden you walk out of there one day and the world has changed because you heard something that is true, and you never ever get over it because it was just what you needed at that particular time. That's what I want for you. And so hold on, we'll try to get a counselor, and I'll send you a copy of Boundaries. That is Dr. John Townsend's book. He's going to be sharing all about that in our Brains, Boundaries, Battles, and the Bible, December the 5th. We'd love to have you come. Also, we would love to have you support this ministry. Larry Sonnenberg was telling you about all the things that we do. We really love seeing people transform and develop something that a lot of people have never had, a redemptive relationship.
Don't you love that word?
Do all day
love
long.
Love that word, redemption.
Oh, I do. I absolutely do. But a lot of times, you know, you don't have a mom or a dad who are very redemptive, and then you get attracted to somebody, and the last thing they can do is be redemptive to you. And I'll tell you, we're really big on this spiritual fortitude where you don't just bounce back, you know, that's resilience, or grit, you just buck up. But spiritual fortitude is where you grow and get better through the tough time because you're relying on God and surrendering to God every day. And it's all about this transforming the way that you think, as it says in Romans 12:2. We love you. We care about you. We love John Townsend, and we love Dr. Sherry when they're here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. If you can help us, it's the same number. I hope our paths cross real soon. God bless you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.